All right, so we've talked a lot about what OSI is, how it works, the history, who you guys are. Some of you, you have a new face in here now. And who are you?
I'm Jay LeCoum. I'm the product manager for office integration here at OSI.
Excellent. So we're going to do what? You're going to show us some of what you were talking about earlier.
Right. Some of the custom task panes and the ribbon, mm-hmm. having the data link for Excel services, our thin client solution, uh-huh. How it works in on web in the SharePoint 2007 and all that. So we have this demo here that we wanted to maybe perhaps show a little bit about what we've done and what we're going to hopefully release in the next very soon.
Excellent. Right.
So what we're going to do is, instead of showing you bits and bytes, we actually created a real-life scenario based on some of the work we have done with the customers.
Uh-huh.
In this case, we're going to use, transmission and distribution customers?
That's right. T&D industry.
T&D industry, which is very strong. If you remember, Pat mentioned that we are working with China. There are about 7 big grid companies that we are working there, and also here in the U.S. and mm-hmm. Mexico and Asia and everywhere. They're looking at using PI for the real-time fabric, the infrastructure, and getting that real-time data coming out from their transmission distribution system, some of the substations in this case, what their real maintenance systems are there. And what we're going to do is how they're using PI, the real-time analytics, and then this visualization using the SharePoint web parts, RT web parts we call it, mm-hmm. and Jason's Excel data link services using Excel web part.
Excellent. Well, let's check this out.
Okay. So. Great. So the first thing I'm going to demo here is a spreadsheet that we've created, which actually has some data from a set of transformers. And this data is all coming from PI. So what we have is some data link user-defined functions. And so when I click on one of these functions, I actually see the custom task pane that Jason was referring to. And I can come in here and modify any of the parameters or enter a new formula.
So one of the things that we did, we mentioned it last time in our interview, is that Jason actually worked with the Office team and made sure that the Excel services contain ways of connecting to our user-defined functions. And one of the user-defined functions you're seeing in the demo in the FX over there mm-hmm. on the top, right. And you see PySampDat.
Yep.
That's actually a function you wrote, Jason, correct?
Right. That's one of our user-defined functions that we've created for data link. The data link function's been there for, at least we're talking, 14, 15 years. So it's been there. There's a lot of legacy behind it, mm-hmm. and we've kept this function there for quite a bit. And so, it's been a pretty good.
And if you look at, if you zoom on the demo sometimes,
And we have lots of functions, actually, that you can use to get data from PI, right? So, Jason, you want to talk about some of these? There's the whole set of them here in the ribbon.
Right. So, if you took a look at the ribbon right now, mm-hmm. each one of those at least create one UDF, one user-defined function. And we've taken some steps in trying to incorporate this into the ribbon, right? Into the ribbon that's newly created in Office 2007. So also, you see here, we can also create like favorites now, where we can actually pre-populate perhaps some of the fields over on the custom task pane on the right-hand side. What else? But, just all the new features are built into ribbon. Some of these, you look at if you hover over one of our functions now, we have like more better tooltips so that we can try to help maybe with a more casual user of data link.
Absolutely.
Just somebody new to it. He doesn't have to read the manual, and that's what we want to do.
Well, and you had mentioned in our earlier part of the interview that this stuff is really designed, your software is designed not necessarily to be used by IT and highly technical people.
Right.
And so sure. That makes perfect sense that you've integrated into Office.
For sure. We definitely, we've had users who, have problems just double-clicking. That's not their using the PC is not something that they've done. We want to make it as easy as possible. Of course, we have a lot of high-end users
sure.
who use this product, but for sure there are some who don't even use the PC that much, and we want to make it as easy as possible for those.
So, like the shift supervisor, shift guys in a plant, power plant in this case, in a substation that Jay's showing you, will be using this, and they'll be creating a report for every 8 hours, and creating one report, they'll be reusing it over and over. And so you can go. And we created some nice ways of talking about time. For example, star always means current time for us. Mm-hmm. And we have star minus 8H, which would be a rolling 8-hour window across the time.
Excellent.
So you want to go and show something? Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I just wanted to...
Okay. That's that always happens. Let's pretend like it's not happening.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention that, you know, Excel and Datalink... Datalink's actually one of our most popular client applications because, you know, people are very familiar with Excel, understand the environment, know how to manipulate it, know how to get the data that they're looking for, know how to join that data with other data, and basically make sense out of that, and then publish that as a report, right? Mm-hmm. And then share that with all their users. So I think one of the things, and the reason we did the Data Link for Excel Services, which I'm going to show next, is that people have this problem of Excel hell. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of got these spreadsheets, they're sharing them, they're emailing them, they're posting them up on a website, they're finding out that, you know, which one is the correct one, which one is the latest one? Did you modify it last? You know, what's going on? And so
or in some cases there'll be some experts who know how to use Datalink for Datalink and be creating fantastic Excel spreadsheets, but they'll be staying in their hard drive.
That's right.
And other less knowledgeable on Excel cannot use that Datalink spreadsheet. This actually makes perfect sense, and I can put it on the web, and I can still manipulate. Which I like about this is that when I've showed it to other customers, I mean, we've gone to many customers showing this, they loved all the fact that it is not a static image, because people have given them spreadsheets which are static images of the real Excel, but this is something you can manipulate.
That's right. They can collaborate around it. That's the whole story.
And I mean, with our web parts, we have some collaborative web parts,
exactly.
And you'll see it in a couple of minutes that how users are using it.
Exactly. So should we switch back and kind of show some of that?
Yeah. So is there anything other functions in Datalink that you think is good to show? Is anything buttons? Any other buttons you want to show?
I mean, in the previous interview, remember we had talked a little bit about how we, you know, yes, you can create, you know, do analyses and stuff like that with ACE, right?
Yes.
With our,
correct.
But that you have to store, you have to create these modules and stuff like that, and you actually are storing the data in Pi. But with Datalink, a lot of times, you know, these users are not users who can program. They don't want to program, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just want to create a simple calculation that does like a total or something like that.
Yeah.
They just want to do it, you know, right there, right then and then. They don't need to store it in Pi. That's not what's important.
Yeah.
They just want to make a basic decision based upon, you know, something. They just, you know, get the calculation right then and there. So Datalink provides that. So we have these functions over here that are calculation functions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we actually have quite a bit of things that we can do. I mean, it gets a little bit more.
Search. Probably this one right here.
Yeah, the calculation mode.
Sorry, not that.
They're not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. But anyways, you can see how many fields we have in terms of what kind of calculations we can do for each one. I mean, there's a lot of fields there. The basic bottom line is that being able to create really quick calculations is the key. You know, looking at raw data, that doesn't really provide very much to our customer base, honestly.
Sure.
What we want to do is to do a post-processing. So what we call post-processing, which is analyses beyond the raw data.
Of course.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, you take all the data that Pi has created, and this is just basically providing a view over that data that a non-expert can take advantage of.
Right.
Right? So I'm a manager. You know, I'm manager overhead. And just kidding. And I need to figure out what's the trend of this, you know, cluster somewhere that does something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the developer gives me the data that I need through working with Pi correctly and ACE and whatever.
Right.
And then I load it into my nice Excel spreadsheet here in Office 2007, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I press run this custom function that a dev wrote for me, and it makes this beautiful chart that I'm looking at, or not even a custom function, one of the many ones that you built already, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So
a combination of the functions that people have written. People also take the same ACE functions and create, for example, web services.
Excellent.
And these web services can be consumed by various systems. For example, we have customers using it, some of the web services that we have written on .NET, on SQL, using it with SAP.
Nice.
And so one of our building services, one of our big customers are using those web services. Now, they are also looking at Excel to take those data that's been calculated by ACE and looking at real-time reports.
Excellent.
So one of the things you will see it here is that as we switch on from the Excel to the
SharePoint.
This is a SharePoint 2007 website, and it's using many of our web parts. On the left-hand side, you are seeing is what we called as in the previous portion of previous part of our interview is analysis framework. It's the older version of that, but it's the same concept.
Yes.
This is a synchronized asset tree, I would say. So people will have SAP, or they might even have Maximo and various, or their own custom-written assets, and they are showing it there. In this case, we have a transmission distribution company. We're probably exaggerating a bit. Distribution, eastern, northern, southern, and western region, and transmission regions 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
And I can see at a glance right now, down at the bottom, this table of work orders, which is actually getting data from a relational table,
okay,
and showing it in our RT table web part. And these are hyperlinks that I can go to find more information about that particular substation, for example. But what I'm interested in are these flashing red boxes.
Yeah, right? So what does that mean?
That seems to point out.
Yeah,
to
so it's, right? So, as Jim said, the work orders are actually coming in from a bigger system, in this case probably an ERP system like SAP PM or Maximo, and coming in either through Office BDC or maybe directly we have connections to those SAP systems or simple web services. I mean, this is a table web part. You can connect with OLADB even if you want to.
Sure.
And Overview is giving you high-level KPIs, key performance indicators, and that's running across this whole substation Eastern District, and it's looking at the current status of those substations. And it's doing these calculations as we talked, some of the piano stuff that Alex is working on. It, those calculations being run in sub-second, in some cases millisecond, because if the data is coming in at that time, based on any criteria being changed, we can make that event pass through all across our platform right into our web parts.
Excellent.
And one of the things in the web parts is that we don't have to press F5, correct?
Yep, that's the whole point. They're RT web parts, the real time. So,
excellent.
You know, basically, they actually update. They're using AJAX, right?
All
AJAX
right.
technology. People are familiar with that now.
MSXML, HTTP.
There you go.
Been around for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've been using it for quite some time, actually.
Excellent.
Well. So all this is real-time data coming from Pi. So it's telling us, hey, Bighorn Basin is a problem, and maybe we should go and click on that. And it'll
so
take
what do you
yeah,
think?
What happens.
Click on other districts, and it will change?
Well, if you go to Bighorn Basin, that's where we've got that Excel spreadsheet on there, too.
Okay.
And we can kind
so
of draw
I want to show here is that in this case, assets recording repair, assets recording attention. What's happening here is that on the background, we have, in this case, some
digital tags.
Yeah, digital tags with real-time condition-based maintenance, some of the calculations running in ACE and doing those prioritization. If you look at the business value of this, and many customers have come back and said to us that, hey, when Microsoft came in and showed us the SharePoint, we looked at it and it's a great tool for collaboration. You guys brought in the business value, business context to that. Now I can really use it to solve my business problems, not just my IT problems. In this case, what it's telling them is that one screenshot that there are many assets that some of them requires attention, immediate attention for repair or creating work orders, some of them don't. So they can continue their work or get alerts or get notified whenever they want.
That's really, really cool. And I can see how that could be really beneficial, for example, in a data center.
Yes.
And, you know, when if I want to remotely, you know, see what's going on, using hit a SharePoint site.
That's right.
And as opposed to having to be an IT professional, although you probably will be if you're working in a data center.
Yes.
But let's say that it's the late shift and I'm just a monitoring person. And I say, oh, no, you know, this node has gone down. I'm automatically going to be able to see that right in my UI, and I can call an engineer and have it fixed.
IT actually loves it. IT actually loves this thing, and IT is using this, our thing, for their monitoring of the IT systems and also getting alerts. Because in addition to the SharePoint, what we have done is that integrated that with the notification system. So you can get notified in the emails, pagers,
excellent,
or anything that you want.
Cool. So now you can not have a life at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Right
exactly. 24 hours.
Right
24
well,
seconds.
No, the other way to think about it is when you're on the golf course, you get notified when there's a problem. You know?
Exactly.
Finish around and maybe go back to it. But I don't know if we can say this, but Microsoft Data Center actually uses our products too.
Yeah, so we talked about that, and you can absolutely say that. We're proud to be using them.
Yes, and the Excel 2007 version of our products will be installed, I think, in next month.
Excellent.
We'll be there. So it looks like Jay clicked on it already.
Yeah, I was ready, eager to kind of look and see what's going on here. And so I clicked on it, Bighorn Basin, and I found out it looks like there's a problem here at this transformer. So let me go ahead and click that.
Hey, what are the things here, the times and all? What are those?
So that's the time range that we were talking about that applies a time context so that you can look at all of your, you know, your PI data and give it a range there. You know, I'm interested in, for example, in this case, I'm looking at the last 2 hours of data. And that context goes back to, you know, this trend is showing you the last 2 hours for oil temperatures on this transformer.
Nice.
As well as the load here. So if I want to drill down, this trend looks kind of interesting to me, but I'm going to blow it out and see in more detail here. So now I've got this...
Can you go back in time?
Sure, I can do that. I can go back real easy. Things. And you see how quick that is, right? To get data out of PI.
Nice. Okay. And that's, again, that comes back to the notion of historian, which I had initially called librarian. But, you know, in some sense, it is kind of a librarian.
And one of the things that our users have been using this is like a flight data recorder. And
nice.
In many cases, you want to go back and see why that temperature actually went up 2 hours ago. And you go back in time on the same web part, and you see that actually, you know, that the valve actually closed unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
You have two trends, or you have the digital state there, and you can easily notify. It's good for training new operators. I mean, as the gray-haired people, they say, as they're leaving the industry, like oil and gas industry, a lot of people are leaving, new people are coming in.
Yeah.
They can actually go back here and say, hey, this is how the operation was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they make some decisions.
Interesting. Now, I will ask this. I mean, have you had any sort of an interesting use for this could be, say, you know, I could see NASA using this with, you know, a Mars rover to monitor. Of course, the software they have on there is incredibly complicated, but that would be really interesting. OSI in space, man.
I mean, we've done stuff where we've implemented, like, the, you know, there are these car devices that you've seen, right? You can hook them up to your car seat to tell you, you know, what kind of gas inputs you're using.
Right.
It's one of those. Somebody built an interface, you know, that interface part we were talking about earlier. Uh-huh. The instrumentation in that point will, of course, be the, you know, that device. It stores all you know, you know, how fast you've been going, what's your gasoline consumption, miles per gallon, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that, and we actually stored that. We've had some of our employees here actually put it in their car and, you know, bring it back in and check it out and store all that data in PI. It's pretty cool.
That's
Also working with some partners in going into the discrete industry.
Uh-huh.
So we have been in the process industry. It's the continuous data stream time series that has been our key things, and some of the automotive industries or this. Blood pressure monitor and all these are comes in bursts.
Mm-hmm.
It's called discrete, and so we are working, and I think we should be looking into some more successes in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We are in some of the semicon, and some of the customers we can mention, some of them we cannot.
Of course,
but there are names. So you drive down another 30 miles south.
Excellent.
Walking into any building.
Walking into any building, yes.
Okay, so
one of the things I want to show you here, Jay, if that works, can you show them an ad hoc trend on anything? So many times somebody else will create this display. So, for example, if there may be a good red hot engineer came out of the school and doing the SharePoint stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it is a gray haired guy, he wants to look at how the LTC oil is doing. Can you do an ad hoc trend on
I
that
see.
One?
So yeah. I'm interested in more than just the current value on that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And boom. That's that fast is the data.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you can zoom in. Can you zoom in anything?
Sure, I can do that. Interest in this area.
There we go. So that's our data is a real-time streaming database, pretty much optimized for time. That's our quality.
Now, you optimize for time in the sense that super fast processing.
No, time is the index
in our
database. Oh, I got you.
So
but
you can find anything.
But we optimize. I mean, we want to make that data retrieval as fast as possible.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're
talking, absolutely.
You know, years of data. We can, you know,
exactly.
We can do it much faster than almost any database.
Now, do you have customers that do like, you know, I want to look at a 5-year 10-year trend?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Okay. All the time.
Because
that's an interesting challenge.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at a refinery. A refinery is serviced every 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
It can go more or less, I mean, depending on how hard they're running it. So an audit trail needs to be kept for at least 2 cycles, or 2 or maybe more cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at easily 7 times 2 is 14 years of data. And you want to see if there was something bad happened, there was a fire or something. You want to see for the last 7 years where that pump failed.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to see a trend, boom, right there. That's for analysis or for observing any problems. And people do that. I've seen people doing what? 1 or 2 year trends many times, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. And definitely going back and looking at how that compares to last year, for example.
Correct, yeah.
So, these are large queries that are done, and we can just handle it across our products, right? From our lowest level, from the Pi server, all the way up to our client tools.
That's great.
Yeah, they're totally optimized.
Including ACE.
Look at Excel 2007. It helped us out by giving us a million rows now, right?
Million
that's
rows.
Kind of scary at the same time.
Oh, no, man.
A million rows. Oh, no.
How's the performance on a million rows in Excel?
That we'll have to think about. We might have to do some limiting there. A million data points. It'll be pretty interesting what's going to happen there.
Oh, totally.
So basically what we have built is not just putting in the data, but getting that fast access to the data.
Sure.
Not just by the users, but also by computer.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of applications are written on top of Pi. And we don't write many of them. I mean, customers have written, third-party system integrators and ISVs have written on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are seeing a lot of data being pumped out of things. You want to show Excel services, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, so this is that same spreadsheet that we were just looking at, right? Where
mm-hmm.
we have the transformer that we actually selected. I'm going to go ahead and select a different one so you can see. The transformer name right now that we were looking at is 3045, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and click on 5620.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to see is that the whole page updates using an AJAX mechanism here again.
Mm-hmm.
And so graphic up at the top changed, my Excel spreadsheet goes back, it does a recalculation, in other words, it goes back and gets the new data, gets the data for that transformer out of Pi,
mm-hmm.
and then in a couple seconds here, we'll get this, there we go, the values for that transformer, and here's the trend for it. So, look, this spreadsheet looks exactly the same as what we were working on in Excel.
Absolutely.
So with the same formatting, with the same Excel chart here. And that's kind of the beauty of it.
Yeah, in our web parts, we use the standard connection mechanism. So there are third-party ISVs that working with us, or even standard web parts.
Mm-hmm.
We can put it in the same SharePoint 2007 page. So we're working with some partner doing some GIS work.
Mm-hmm.
They're using Microsoft Live Maps or
nice.
Virtual Earth and putting together. And so we worked on some of them.
Pretty cool.
And people can click on map right now instead
mm-hmm.
of clicking on a tree view
mm-hmm.
and do the same feature.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be we demonstrated that in some of the conferences. We'll be working even more closely with them.
That's really cool.
The important point, what you're trying to get across, is that the data is important, gobs of data is important, but then applying context to that data is just as important, right?
Certainly.
Because you can have all the data in the world, but if you can't really group it together or analyze it and make sense out of it, it's not useful. So you need the context. You need to be able to find and drill down or search for the data that you're interested in and then go and analyze it that way, the tool that you're comfortable with.
Absolutely right. I mean, in addition to the context, I'll also add that we also know that where the time series part of Pi comes in place.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when we developed our this asset tree or analysis framework,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of relational data there. We didn't try to plug that into the Pi. We used SQL Server for that. So we use SQL Server for that foundation analysis framework. We use Pi for the time series data. We use, as you heard, WCF and some of the other innovations in doing the connectivity. And then we use OLEDB. So Pi has an OLEDB connector,
mm-hmm.
and which makes it looks like a SQL server, a SQL link server. So if you're using standard Microsoft tools, you can call data from Pi. And,
using syntax that you understand.
Well, Excel has built-in knowledge of how to get data out of OLEDB, right? So
nice.
It has these office data connections. So, you really don't have to do any work. You just actually create a query. Yeah. And that's the configuration. It's not programming, it's configuration work that you do. So, the important thing is that our platform is open.
Yeah.
It's very open. Right?
One of the things I'm going to put you on the spot, do you have the RT Messenger anywhere?
I don't know.
So we're going to just talk about RT Messenger and web part we could have shown. It's actually an integration with our context data, but also with live communication server. So some of the unified communication that's coming out, Office Communication Server 2007, people will be able to, from this web part, look at the context that's happening, get a list of people that's online, and then click and start communication, whether it be a phone call, a live meeting, or
email,
and IM sessions.
Nice.
So we are pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So
yeah, we hook into a lot of places in the Office system. The other day I was on the Microsoft site and took a look at this map that Microsoft publishes of the Office Office system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I started actually coloring the different squares in this map, I noticed that we actually plug in and use a lot of the tools that are available there. So
excellent.
It's a pretty
and
good
those tools are just
store.
Getting better.
Yeah.
So it's getting better, and we're excited to be part of Office DSE 14.
Yeah, that's
so
right, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep making them do the right thing. Just keep it up. They appreciate it.
And right now, if we can just get handle on Silverlight 1.1, we'll be very happy.
Yeah. Exactly. You hear that, Scott? I recently interviewed Scott Guthrie on Channel 9 about Silverlight.
Yes,
he talks about what I was saying earlier about the fact that it's a cross-platform CLR. But yeah, well.
So Scott, if you want a showcase partner, and we are ready to jump. 1.1, here we come.
Right on. This is real time communication via Channel 9, right back to the mothership.
Yes.
Scott will watch this.
Great.
All right, Scott.
Cool.
Okay, excellent.
Excellent, you guys. Well, I mean, thank you for taking the time to demo this.
Thanks.
And
you're welcome.
I can see a lot of really interesting applications, especially with your service. So. Thank you, man.
No, thank you.
Good job, you guys.
Thank you for taking the time.
All right.